We're going to be looking this morning, beginning in Romans chapter 10. Again, we last week talked about Christianity and how Christianity has become a form of religion, and that the earlier Christians that were called Christians, it was a derogatory term. And it's amazing, this week I had an opportunity in the exam room to talk with a gentleman, and he is asking me some questions, and he had been going to church for a long time, and you know, and the conversation began that there seems to be a lot of criticism in the Bible about how cruel. He says, "I just finished the Old Testament," and he says, "and to look at how cruel it is, how cruel God is." And he said, "there's a lot of criticism written about the Old Testament and how cruel God is." I said, "yes, but that's the true God." I said, "it's not that he's cruel. He's trying to show us the consequences of sin. And we can't appreciate his holiness." And he began to talk about being a Christian. And I said, "well, that's the last thing you want to be, is just a Christian." And I got an opportunity to share truth with him that that was a derogatory term that was given to the people that were following, to his disciples. And God called us to be disciples, and then he would take it from there, teach us, so that we could come to the saving knowledge he is, so that we could receive the Holy Spirit, become children of God. And the world has bought into this thing of being Christian, and when Christian is no different than being a Sadducees or a Pharisees or a Methodist or a Baptist or whatever. Anybody can do those things, but only God can make us children of God. So God gives us opportunities, and we need to take those opportunities in love and share truth. Whether they take the truth or what they do with the truth is not our responsibility, but it is our responsibility to share those truths about God. And again, and this is in chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation." And that should be our motive. That should be the reason we live and breathe and work. And we may have all these different jobs, and we're in society. God never expected us to become mega church and fortified church, and where we have our own softball team, our own cooks, our own restaurant, our own everything. He expects us to go into a lost world and be a light to that world, and our desire should be for their salvation, that they would come to the saving knowledge of who God is. But with all the smorgasbord of lies out there, people are having a very difficult time seeing and hearing truth, because the true church of God needs to rise up and live according to his scriptures. And do not turn to the left or the right. Do not be persuaded by the world and by men's teaching of who God is. But our desire should be for someone to be saved. These people that we take offense at, they're a soul. Have you read what happens to a soul, to a person that dies apart from God? It says they go to a place where it's hot, and the heat is so intense, and there's no relief. The thirst cannot be quenched. The worm does not die. I think sometimes we forget this, that there is going to be a life after this life. And this is why he had this desire for their salvation, because he understood very clearly what happens to people that are not saved. Religion does not save people. Religion confuses people. Religion gives people a false sense of security that they're okay with God. And that's what we have to make sure, that our light is shining in such a way that people understand that Christianity, And just because they believe that they're saved, doesn't make them saved. That is a work of God, and only God can do that. But his desire for salvation is what motivated his desire for their salvation. He understood his purpose in life. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. You see, you can have this earthly and this fleshly desire to please God. But see, there's a passage of Scripture that should put that zeal to death in our life. It says in the flesh we can't please Him. That it has to be in the Spirit. That He is only pleased with what happens in the Spirit. And if we're born spiritually dead in our trespasses of sin, then how in the world can we please Him? So as much as we want to become spiritual and as much as we want to become religious and have this great zeal for God and do all these wonderful things for God, it still leaves us undone because it's without the knowledge. See, knowledge, the beginning of knowledge is what? Fear of God. And then the wisdom comes in. Which word does wisdom come from? The fear of God. So the fact, if you don't put both of those together, then the zeal that you have is in vain. So we have so many people out there working themselves to death for God. And they're going to stand before Him, and He's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That's a tragedy. And we're allowing that to happen because we have preachers and teachers that are not just proclaiming the Word of God, but you're trying to explain the Word of God. The Word of God is a revelation. I don't have to study for it. It's given to me. And this is the hard thing that confuses and confounds mankind, is that they think they have to earn this somehow. That somehow they have to have a part in this. When God says, you have no part in this. I'm going to do something for you you can't do for yourself. So it has to be in accordance with the knowledge of Scripture, of what God says. He didn't write these things just so that they're stories that we tell our children and that they're stories of what we know, but there's biblical truths in each one of these lives of the people that are written. You've got to look and ask God to reveal the truth from each person that is written. He even said, I wrote this so you wouldn't make the same mistakes that they made. So it's amazing how He includes all this for us so that we don't have to wonder. We can be secure in who we are. He says, for not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own. See, this is religion. See, the Bible even talks about religion and to stay away from it. He says, not knowing about God's righteousness. You know, again, all those, you know, the things that we call good on earth, and we're calling that righteous, the right thing to do. Well, sometimes what man does and thinks is right is totally wrong according to God's word. So it's only God's righteousness that matters, not our own righteousness. And he says, for not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. See, this is about subjecting yourself. You're not free to do what you want to do. What Jesus does, the work he did on the cross, God allows us to be freed from the bondage of sin, who is our master over us, so that we can be given to another master. And that master is ultimately Jesus Christ, who has authority over us. But again, the ultimate authority is God, because he has authority over Jesus Christ. So you see, it's not that we were ever allowed to live our life the way we want. That's a fallacy. I don't get to just go out and please God with any endeavor that I want to do. But what pleases God is keeping in His word and His commandments and His statutes not to be saved, but we keep them because we are saved. But you have to subject yourself to His righteousness. You have to look into Scripture and determine what is right. The right attitudes, the right character, the right decisions. It doesn't matter if we come together and decide that something is right, if it's contrary to what God says is right. See, it's always like the majority rules. Not in God's laws, not in God's realm. See, it's actually a minority that's going to be right with God, not the majority. Anytime the majority on again, as you look in religion and you see all the different religions coming together and focusing on the love of God instead of subjecting to the righteousness of God. See, when we make the love of God the focal point of God instead of His holiness and righteousness, then we've not subjected ourselves to His righteousness. We're trying to grab His love, and we're creating a God that is supposed to love us where He finds us. We talked in Sunday school, He doesn't love us where we're at. He loves us in spite of where we're at. So understanding what's going on in our world, you as the church must clearly understand what's happening in this religious world. Had a conversation with someone yesterday, and they said, well, everything's going to be okay. God's just going to make it all better. Everything's going to get better. No, it says if He hasn't shortened the days, that there would be no one left. It's going to get worse. Because sin is rampant. The Holy Spirit is being withdrawn from the world. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit is becoming weak. Not because it's weak, because men becoming dull of hearing. Because when you subject religion with the righteousness of God and you begin to follow any type of a religion, then you have become a slave to that religion. When we're supposed to be a slave to that righteousness of God. We're supposed to submit ourselves to the righteousness of God. What He says. We may not like what it says. There's a lot of things in here that you read that you don't like. There's a lot of things in here that we read that we don't understand. God didn't say, I have to explain everything to you. He said, you obey what I say. See, we don't like that. See, you need to explain everything to me. And then when you explain it to me and I understand it, then we'll do it. And God says, no, I'm going to tell you to do it. It's going to be in subject to my righteousness. There's no explanation. Doesn't matter how you feel, you just go do it. That's subjecting to His righteousness, not our feelings. He goes on to say, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. The law. Remember why the law was written. It was to show us something. Do you find it amazing in our world today that when criminals go out and do stuff, then they make laws against it? Do you know that criminals don't follow laws? So why do we make more laws that they won't follow? We're not really that smart, are we? We think we are, but we're really pretty dumb. When you sit down and think about this, so why does our society make laws that men aren't going to obey? You can't obey the laws of God in the flesh. God proved that through the first covenant. That's why, you know, He writes this, that he's the end of that to righteousness. If your righteousness is based on you keeping the Ten Commandments, and your righteousness is based on what you're doing, then it's a self-righteousness. And you're going to die and go to hell. Try to keep all that. You can't. You can't. Because your nature won't allow you. Your nature's contrary to what's written in those commandments of God. So Christ is the end of that righteousness. And He says, I'm going to give you something that you can't do for yourself. I'm going to make you the righteousness of God. I will become sin. so that you can become the righteousness of God. Wow, what a sacrifice. It says Moses, and this is verse 5, says Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on the law shall live by that righteousness. So basically, if that's what you want to do, and you think that you're going to go to heaven by keeping and doing good deeds and doing good things, no one goes to heaven by doing any deeds. There's not a thing that you can do to go to heaven. I don't care how clean your life is or how clean you think it is. If there's not a miraculous act of God upon your life, the miracle of the new birth, you're going to die and go to hell. Period. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven that brings Christ down, or who will descend into the vast that will bring Christ up from the dead. But what it does say, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. Okay, so when they hear the word of God and they hear the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is not saying he's convicting you of your sin. He's convicting you of your nature. He's convicting you of the state of being that you're at. So God, why do I lie? God, why do I cheat? God, why do I murder? God, why do I do all these things? God, why am I prideful? And then he shares why. Then they write scriptures that says, you're born in iniquity. You're born in your trespasses of sin. You're an enemy of God. So you begin to read the word of God, which then there's a revelation given to you of your state of being, and then you mourn over that because there's nothing you can do about it. You can give up all those things that the pseudo-church tells you to give up, and you'll still die and go to hell. And that's the tragedy in our world today. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, see, and a lot of people make a doctrine out of that. All I got to do is confess Jesus is Lord. Well, if you're confessing it, then what does it mean that you're calling him Lord? That means you're going to do what he says. You can't just confess Jesus Christ and think that you're okay with God. So who what? Who cares? The demons confess that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They confessed. They knew who he was. And they did not become the righteousness of God. So we have to look into this a little bit more. What does it mean to confess him as Lord? Because it says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That means even those that are not saved. So you got to understand that you can't make a doctrine out of confessing this. Talk is cheap. You can. You're taught as a little kid what to say, especially in church. You're told what to say. You don't believe it. That's how you were brought up, just to say those things. Well, confessing, why are you confessing? And believe in your heart. Well, here's the rest of it. You got to believe in your heart. Okay, they didn't say ask Jesus into your heart. There's nowhere in Scripture where it says for anyone to ask Jesus to come into their heart. It's not in there. You'll never find it in there. Some man said that we'll make this easy for the little kids. We'll just ask them to say a prayer and ask Jesus in their heart and then shake their hand and tell them, dunk them in some water here and say, hey, you're good. Now it says, the heart. What is the heart? So the confession comes after the conviction. You don't know what to confess. Paul says, I didn't know coveting was wrong. Until I read it in the scripture. So apart from the word of God, you don't even know that there's anything wrong with you. Just because somebody comes up and says you're a sinner, what does that mean? what in the world does that mean? So I'm in a class, a group of people that supposedly are sinners. What does that mean? Especially now that we're changing what sin is, now we're changing the nomenclature, now we're changing everything so it's more palatable to the world, and now conforming to normality, all the sins that God talks in His Word, it's now becoming normal. It's a way of life for us. Murder is a way of life. You don't like somebody, you just go kill them. You don't like your wife, you just divorce her. Or you don't like your husband, you just divorce him. Who cares? It's about you being happy, right? And that what we want to be, we want to be happy. So we change everything to make it right. Okay? We don't talk about drunkards anymore. I mean, who cares if somebody drinks? And gets drunk. I mean, that's just, you're supposed to party, right? Everybody thinks you drink. It's amazing how many gifts I get a year from clients that come in and it's alcohol. Everybody thinks everybody just drinks. I don't want to drink. You know why I don't drink? Because this is a temple of God, and I'm trying to do what I can to take care of that temple, and I'm not just picking on drinking. Okay? But there are people that go to church, claim to be children of God, and they get with their buddies, their fraternity buddies and stuff like that, and they drinking. Why? Because we want to be happy. We want to find a religion, and we want to find a place that makes us happy. We want to come to a place that sings songs so we can be happy. I don't see any here where it says we're to be happy. It says we're to learn to be content. Be joyful. Not happy. There's nothing wrong with being happy. But that's your focal point of looking for a relationship with God, is to be happy. You're going to be solely disappointed. Maybe not in this earth. Maybe you fooled yourself long enough on this walk. But when you stand before Him and He says, "Depart from me, I never knew you," there's not a second and third and fourth chance there. It's your eternity has been taught to, told you, and what God says is going to stick for eternity. It's everlasting. This is how serious this is. This is why his first part was, "I'm concerned about their salvation. I'm concerned about the deception that's out there. I'm concerned about all the false truths you've heard your whole life. I'm concerned that you haven't made this real." He's concerned about their salvation. So for with the heart a person believes. Wow, can we just stop right there? Can we put a period right there? See, that's what we used to go out and say. Well, if you believe deep enough in your heart, you believe deep enough in your nature. Well, if a natural man can't understand spiritual things, how can then a natural man believe in his heart? I'm just asking for an explanation. I'm going to use all the scriptures to refute the religious propaganda that's out there. If the Bible says that a natural man cannot understand spiritual things and can't even if he wants to because they're spiritually appraised, and if you're born spiritually dead, how can you believe in the heart? You can't. You can't. So there you go. I'm telling you, you can take and sit down with every denomination and every religion and get the Word of God out, and you'll find the error. And you're going to come to the same conclusion on all of them. Only God can do this. Doesn't matter what my zeal is. Doesn't matter how much I want it. God has to do it. So for the heart a person believes, resulting. Here's the problem. Because I keep writing. Resulting in righteousness. Meaning I can't stay how God found me. It's impossible to say that I'm a child of God. Now, it's easy to say you're a Christian, because, again, I hope we understand that being a Christian is not going to heaven. Being a Christian is not child of God. Being a Christian is just a social type of thing that you join. And it's not being a child of God. Okay? I hope we understand that. The lost world does not understand that. Because it results in righteousness. And when it results in righteousness, then the mouth confesses, resulting in salvation. There has to be a work of God in here somewhere, not just your zeal to go to heaven. Again, see, it's everybody's zeal to go to heaven, but no one's zeal to be the righteousness of God, because the righteousness of God is going to come with a cost. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. But it's how you believe in him. Why you believe in him. The purpose of you believing in him. Not that you believe in him like you believe in Santa Claus. Not like you believe in him like there's an Easter Bunny. Not like you believe in him because you believe things are going to... I mean, it's amazing how people never look at truth and they just kind of, well, I just believe this is going to happen. I just believe you're going to get well. And what are you basing that on? My belief that I have in God is based upon truth through faith that he has given me, because I heard it through the Word of God. That's where my belief comes from. Not because somebody told me I needed to believe, but it was revealed to me that I need to believe. And what I needed to believe, and how I needed to believe, and it resulted in righteousness. If the belief that you have is not resulting in the fruits of the Spirit growing in your life, and does not result in the righteousness of God, then your belief is in vain. You've not believed for the purpose of believing. You've not believed because you've been convicted. You believe because somebody told you you need to believe. Because you want to go to heaven instead of hell. This has nothing to do with heaven. And that's why religion comes along, so everybody can go to heaven. But the sad thing is, they'll not be there. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. Basically, he's telling you, I don't care who you are. This truth I'm telling you is for everyone. You're all falling short of God's glory. I don't care what nationality you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what gender you are or what gender you think you are. I don't care how tall you are. I don't care how short you are. I don't care how much money you have in a bank. I don't care how good you are at sports. I don't care how good looking you are. It's the same truth for every person. We're all born in iniquity, and flesh begets flesh, and that's all you can be is flesh. Unless there's a miraculous work in your life that God performs and becomes your spiritual father through the new birth experience. There's no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. Well, why are you calling on him? Same reason most of those people went out there to call upon him. Heal me. Take care of my infirmities. Get rid of the demon possession in me. I can't hear. I want to hear. I can't see. I want to see. My daughter's dead. Come raise her from the dead. See? That's not why Jesus came. He came to save men. Basically, his people, his Israelites, from their sins, and God grafted us in out of his mercy and grace. But he's Lord of all. So you can't have one Lord in 50,000 different denominations. I know you you're tired of me here, but you've got to understand this. Denomination means nothing to God. Absolutely nothing. We shouldn't be competing denomination against denomination. We shouldn't be going into countries and confusing all these poor people that doesn't have the knowledge and the resources that we have, and giving them this Bible that says you got to do this, and giving them this Bible says you got to do this, and giving them this Bible and says you got to do this, and giving them this and say you got to do this. It says one Lord of all. I mean, he's going to teach everybody exactly the same thing. Now, how he teaches each and every one may be different, but I promise you the outcome will be exactly the same, and it'll be about you being the righteousness of God, not you going to heaven. See, that's just a place where God's at, and that's where righteous people go. But when your focal point is to go there without being the righteousness of God, you're not going to go there. There's no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in the riches for all who call on him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, don't make a doctrine out of that. Not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of God. I've got verses that will defute the doctrine that has been made out of that one right there. Oh, just call upon the name of the Lord, you're going to get saved. Not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord will not... Read Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of God. So you got to understand what that is. You can't take one verse and make a doctrine out of it like we have. Just call upon him. Just say you're a sinner and everything going to be okay. Doesn't happen that way. Never will. Never will. And all those people, those good churchgoers, which may have had 100% attendance in Sunday school and stuff, they're up there and they wish they would go. Tell somebody. Send somebody back. I'm here in torment because I lived my life. Just terrible situation I'm in. Just like the rich man that died and Lazarus went to heaven and the rich man went to hell. And he was in such torment. He says, send somebody back that's been raised from the dead to tell them about this place. Guess what? He did send somebody that was raised from the dead. His name was Jesus Christ. And we still don't believe him. Our world still does not believe him. Our world still doesn't believe his word. Our world still doesn't believe that the Bible is without error and the scriptures are wholly inspired. We don't believe any of this in our world because we've allowed religion to tell us and explain God to us instead of being revealed to us. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they've not heard? Here's the sad part. And how will they hear without a preacher? A preacher is not an occupation. We should not have seminaries. Men teaching men how to be preachers. God is the only one that can teach a preacher to be a preacher. There's nothing wrong with going to seminary as long as you don't buy into all their garbage. Why do you have Methodist seminaries? Why do you have Baptist seminaries? Why do you have all these different Catholics, whatever they do? Why do you have all that? And come out and teach something different than the one Lord of God, Almighty, who wrote this book. And he says, I'll teach you. You need no man to teach you. The sad part is we don't have any preachers today that are willing to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, and I don't have to defend it. I don't have to explain it. All I have to do is say and proclaim it. We don't have preachers that do that. We have to get some young guy who's got a lot of energy, right out of school with new ideas on how to get people into the church. The only way I know that you get into the church is you're born again into it. That's the only way. You have to be born into it. Sad we don't have a preacher. That's why people can't hear. Because no one's standing up saying that's wrong. That's a lie. You've been deceived. You've deceived your kids all this time, all this life. You've deceived them. You gave them something that you had no right to give them. You told them they were okay, and they're not okay. How will they preach unless they're sent? Just as it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news. The paradox is that this is for everyone, but it's not for everyone. Unless you heed the word of God, start asking questions to your friends that are caught in religion. You know why we don't do that? Because we're ignorant ourselves, because we don't know what Scripture says, because we don't spend the time to know what it says. The Holy Spirit brings up to remembrance what we need, but if we've never read it, how can He bring up that in remembrance? He doesn't just pop it in your head like magic. It's that you've done what you're called to do. It's to spend time with Him in spirit so that it's written upon your heart. So in those times of conversations, He brings up the wisdom and the knowledge of God that you can share in love. Ask questions. When someone says, I found God, say, where was He at? Tell me how you found Him. Because the Scripture says that He finds you. So what you have is something that's wrong. You have something totally contradictory to God's Word. You cannot find Him. He finds you. Well, I sacrifice for God. Why? Has He sacrificed for you? Because if He hasn't sacrificed for you, then you don't have what the Bible teaches us that we have to have. See, He sacrificed for us. He did something for us that we couldn't do. Well, I'm working for God. You ought to see my ministry. You ought to see the work I'm doing. Well, what work is that? Do you have the fruits of the Spirit in your life? Is your character bearing the character of Jesus Christ? And is it growing in your life? At which point did you receive the Holy Spirit? Because without the Holy Spirit, you've just got religion. And you're going to die and go to hell. But see, when we don't know these things, how can we share these things? How can God use us? However, they did not heed the good news. For Isaiah says, the Lord, who has believed our report. See, no one's going to, a lot of people, if they hear this, if they ever hear this, they've already shut me down and said, I don't know what I'm talking about. I've not been to the seminary. I've not been taught by the religious theologians that know all of it. I'm sorry, I was just taught by God. I was just taught by the Holy Spirit was my teacher, and I apologize if that's not good enough. However, they did not all heed the good news for Isaiah. The Lord says, who has believed our reports? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I surely say that they've never heard, have they? Indeed they have. See, no one's without excuse, for the voice has come out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, surely, Isaiah did not know, did they? First Moses says, I will make you jealous by the which is not a nation, by a nation without understanding, I will anger you. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. And the reason they found him was because God allowed them. He drawed them. He allowed it to happen in their lives. They did not find him on their own. It wasn't without spiritual intervention from a holy God. So I hope you sit down with God and make sure what you have is true and real. And not some religious thing that you've been taught by your parents or somebody else or some preacher that stood up here and lied to you. If you're not born again, if God has not taught you, if you've not gotten your faith from the hearing of the Word of God, and you've not received the Holy Spirit, then you're lost.